following program is furnished by Inside Sports Medicine Associates, LLC, and is responsible for its content. It's time for Inside Sports Medicine on Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket, with your host, Dr. Tio Soriao, orthopedic surgeon and medical director of Texas Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Group. Get your sports medicine questions ready and call 888-787-1310.
Dr. Tio Soriao. And that was very insightful.
Good Saturday morning. Good Saturday morning and welcome to Inside Sports Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. T.O. Soriao, live in the studio. Full house today. The three J's are on the other side of the glass.
J. Let's go.
Jacob, Jonathan, and Jay.
Jay.
Unfortunately, none of us ever dated Toni Braxton.
No, none of you have.
That might be fortunately.
That's an old school reference.
I don't know, man. I think that juice might be worth the squeeze.
Where did that come from? Whoa, flag on the play. Way too early for that. Way too early for that.
Jacob.
Whoa.
Jacob.
What?
I'm just saying.
I felt very
I know you just saying too, though.
Tell me I'm wrong.
I know you just saying too.
I felt uncomfortable. Welcome to Inside Sports Medicine. That other voice you hear is Brad Ballard, Dr. Brad Ballard.
Morning, Doc. Welcome back.
Thank you. We have a lot to get to today. This is your sports medicine current events show where the topics are ripped right off of the sports desk. Over the next hour, you're going to be informed, entertained, and hopefully learn something new. We have a section or a segment that we take calls. I'm going to give the number out a few times. So be ready with questions, comments for the bottom of the hour. If you are new to the show and just tuned in accidentally, welcome. Hopefully you'll stick around and enjoy it. If you're a regular, and we have a bunch of regulars, what are you doing up this early? But thank you. I'm always amazed when I meet you guys in the office or wherever. The type of loyal following we have. This is our 21st season on the air. First 19, we're on ESPN, literally right across the hall.
Mm-hmm.
And we're now in our second year at The Ticket, and we could not be prouder. And thank you guys so much for listening and sticking around. So we're going to talk. So part of the problem of having a weekly show.
I knew you were going to say this.
I just have
to.
And
I was thinking it, yeah.
Is that stuff happened last Sunday.
Yep.
That we can't get to until today.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still somewhat relevant. You know, the Super Bowl, we got some things that we're going to talk about, especially from a sports medicine angle. Odell Beckham tore his ACL a second time.
Yep.
And that opens up a huge point of discussion. We can probably talk about this for 2 hours. The Olympics are going on, so we've got some stuff to talk about there. I have no idea what the ratings look like for the Olympics.
Neither do I.
You know, to me, it's kind of the background stuff. And then whatever else you guys want to talk about, there's non-sports medicine banter to be had.
It's some basketball stuff.
This is All-Star Weekend.
That's right. It's All-Star Weekend.
I'll peel the curtain
But all the
back.
Trade stuff. We didn't talk much about some of the trade stuff last week. But
so we have a lot to get to today. Brad, you want to start off with the Super Bowl thing?
Yeah.
Let's
so
do that.
You and I watched football or sports from a different perspective.
From each other?
No. Sorry.
From other people.
As physicians,
exactly.
As sports medicine physicians specifically, yep. we have a different eye whenever we watch the game. And
remind me to circle back to a story that happened last Sunday while we were drinking a beer and watching the game.
Well, you received a text from me.
Yep.
I mean, within seconds yep. of watching OBJ go down, and it's just amazing how between the history, watching what happened, knowing that he's got a prior ACL that he had reconstructed, non-contact, goes down, grabs a knee. Because whenever you were watching it, it was like, did he drop that pass? Or did he, like, you almost couldn't tell, like, did he drop the pass or did he grab the knee first?
What happened there?
What happened? And then before they even played the replay, I think, I texted you, I was like, ACL. You were like, yep.
My response was, there's nothing else it can be.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, it was two things, and I was thinking the exact two things. I was like, either it's a patella tendon tear, right, but it's likely an ACL just by the way his knee shifted. And it's subtle, but it happened.
Very subtle.
Yep.
Even I thought that's what it was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just from watching sports for so many years,
yeah,
and seeing these injuries happen. I've seen guys who just take a step wrong,
yep,
and they just grab their knee and go down, and 9 times out of 10, ACL went bye-bye.
But you know, most people, and, you know, Jacob, you're in the sports world, so, I mean, you really watch it and you kind of pay attention to injuries. That's subtle, man.
Yeah.
Like, that was a very subtle, you know, cut, kind of move and shift. He's probably done that, you know, many other times.
A million times.
Or attempted to, and it went just fine.
Right. But you're right. But on the replay, when they slowed it down, you could see his knee kind of...
Yep.
What,
it's kind of shift.
It shifted.
Just jostled when he stepped.
Yep.
Yeah. So that opens up a discussion as to, and that's what was asked of me last week, is how often does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it happens surprisingly more often than we like. However, it's not always in the Super Bowl, and it's not always with 150 million people watching.
Yeah.
And now there's going to be a lot of questions about what do we do now? What is he going to do now? Is his career over, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah.
But Brad brought something up that I need to swing back and mention. We as sports medicine docs watch sporting events from a completely different perspective. And it's kind of sad because I tend not to enjoy them as much because we watch it from a clinical perspective.
Yep.
As soon as that happened, Brad and I were texting each other almost simultaneously, ACL. You know, could he have ruptured his patellar tendon? Yes, he could have. That's the other thing. But when he got up and walked off, well, that
ruled that out.
That ruled that out. That ruled that out and only left us with one possible diagnosis.
That's right.
Okay. The rest of the people in the room were drinking a beer and eating snacks.
Right. And real quick, so, and I told my friend before he even, like, before he made it to the sideline, I said, this changes the game immediately.
100%.
They're thinking, oh, he might come back. I'm like, no, listen, he's done.
He's done.
Like, he's done this. And it did change the game because they hit a drought. The Rams hit a drought after that.
Well, it took the air out of their balloon.
Yep, yep.
All right, quick little break. We're going to come back with this discussion. This opens up many, many discussion points. Which we will touch on. This is Inside Sports Medicine, T.O. Soriel, Brad Ballard. Oh, no, wait a second. We don't have to take a break until 8.
Yeah, I was looking. I was
10,
like,
right?
Hold up, man. What's going on?
I was like, you can do whatever you want, but you know, you still got 2 minutes if you like.
Yeah, man.
I'm going with the old clock.
It's all right. It's all right, Doc.
So let's get back. Sorry, I'll do the break a little later. How often does that happen where you have your ACL fixed, reconstructed, substituted, whatever, and it happens a second time? And I was telling my patients, even though we reconstruct the ACL, give you a whole brand new one, and it is bigger and fatter and stronger than the original ACL, the likelihood of recurrence is never zero. It's never zero because that knee mechanics is not the same anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And in my practice, it's less than 5% recurrence rate, but the national average is probably twice that. You look at it and you say, 90% success rate, I'll take that. Mm-hmm. Of course you would. I would too.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But it ain't zero.
Yeah.
And 10 to 15% is a big number.
Yeah.
And so Brad asked me on the elevator coming up here, so what's the likelihood of him ever coming back to this level?
Mm.
That's the $64 million question.
Yeah.
Because the recurrence rate after a revision, and so we've already taken his patellar tendon a piece of it at least, and gave him a new ACL, and that tore.
Yeah.
So now what do we have left? Can't really use a cadaver in a pro athlete because it won't hold.
Yeah.
Very difficult to use a hamstring in a wide receiver.
Yeah. He needs that.
He needs that. So the other alternative is take the patellar tendon on the other knee.
Mm.
There, the healing is good. I mean, it's 80+% success rate, but there's a big failure rate.
Mm-hmm.
Factor in, now he's going to be out another year.
Yeah. The psychological aspect.
So you missed 2 out of 3 years.
Yeah.
And you're not a lineman.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the skilled position.
Yep. You've been shifted a few, I mean, you know, kind of going around the league, making the rounds now.
Yep, but that's unique to Odell. But I'm talking about in generality.
Yep.
Coming back after a revision ACL surgery is tough. Not that it can't be done, but it's tough, especially at that high level of participation.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'd like to see him come back. I mean, I think he's good for the game.
Yeah.
He's got some baggage, but I think he's good for the game.
Yeah.
But
on
the sports medicine side, let me tell you what's going through everybody's mind. In fact, let me do the break first and then tell you what's going through everybody's mind as he and his agents and family start to consider this.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about it? Because this happens in our practice every single day.
Oh, yeah.
Little high school girls, soccer players, football
college players. Yep.
This ACL injury is epidemic. A re-tear, fortunately, doesn't happen very often, but it happens often enough that we have to be on top of this.
Yeah, and if it happens to a OBJ, it's significant. It could be a career, you know, changing.
Yeah, I saw a kid the other day and said, I've torn my ACL 3 times.
Mm.
Wow. All right, Inside Sports Medicine, this is the break now. T.O. Soriel, Brad Ballard, coming back.
You're listening to Dr. Soriel and the gang on Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine.
What is this?
The Go-Go's. Mm. Yeah, that means you don't know.
All right. That definitely means I don't know.
Well, you're not old enough and not your genre.
I feel if I play a certain song, he might know.
It might come back. Yeah, maybe.
Oh, now that I'm hearing more of the hook. Okay, yeah, I've heard this before.
Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. T.O. Soriel, Brad Ballard, the three J's on the other side of the glass. All right, I've already asked this question once, but I'm going to ask it to our listeners, especially our Facebook people, because they can type and respond. The three J's having to do with the Mavericks, can you name them?
Mm.
Yep.
Nice.
That was that's a throwback three J's.
Yeah.
But Jacob, Jonathan, and Jay are all here today. Full crew. We were talking about Odell Beckham and tearing his ACL, at least what appears to be a torn ACL the second time.
Mm-hmm.
And why we're talking about it is because it happens in our practices on a daily basis. It happens to your sons or daughters. It happens to you that you tear your ACL once and unfortunately it happens a second time. It's in certain practices, it's not that common that mm-hmm. it happens a second time. But it's not zero.
Yep.
And what you do now that you've exhausted the gold standard, which is a patellar tendon, is you take the other one. You take the other patellar tendon. In some cases, if you're an older athlete, you take a cadaver patellar tendon. But, you know, at an NFL player, you're not going to do a cadaver because we know that the physics are not there. It won't hold. We don't have anything synthetic, at least not yet. We've tried it. It didn't work. So you take his other patellar tendon, which now means that both knees have been affected by this injury. And yes, you can come back, but it is difficult. Yes, yeah. You can come back, but it is difficult. And now you've run out of options if it ever happens again.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the things that always worries me when I take the patellar tendon graft from the other knee, from the quote-unquote good knee, is what am I going to do if that knee blows?
Yeah.
We're out. We're out of options.
Yeah.
We're out of options.
Well, you also asked a question, which we don't know, but be very curious, is at the skilled position in the NFL.
Has anybody ever come back?
From two?
I don't know.
ACL reconstructions.
I know people have come back from a right and a left.
Yeah.
But I don't know if anybody's
come back.
Matter
of fact, Deshaun Watson's one of those guys.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Garoppolo.
Really?
Also right and left. One in college, one in the pros.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, I wrote a paper on bilateral ACL injuries way back in the 90s. Got a lot of press, and it's getting a second life simply because people are starting to piece it together now that those of us who've had bilateral injuries, I've been proposing that there's something inherently wrong with our ACLs. It's not just bad luck. It could be bad luck. But there's something inherently wrong with our ACLs, and now the sports medicine world's trying to figure out what that something is. My theory is perhaps genetic, not sure. But anyway, we're getting away. I want to stick with the sports medicine topic. I want to stick with the impact that this has on athletes and how difficult it is to come back after not only one, but a second ACL injury. It's doable. We'll wait and see. Speaking of ACL injuries, now I'm going to go to the exact extreme opposite. Kawhi Leonard. This is NBA All-Star Weekend. And maybe a little bit later in the show, I'm going to peel the curtain back about what happens during All-Star Weekend, at least for the medical side. Kawhi is a strange dude, and I don't know him. I just know what has been on the media. He threw the San Antonio Spurs medical staff under the bus with his quad injury. He took a year and a half to come back from something that should have taken a few months. He doesn't talk very often. He's very, very quiet about his injuries, which is okay. I respect the privacy. But he's now forced. Who's he playing for? Is he still playing for the Clippers?
Well, still on their roster. Is he still on the Clippers roster? Clippers roster?
Yeah.
Do we know?
Well, they're talking about something else. And so what came out when it happened, it was last year in the playoffs, so we're coming up on almost, coming up on a year in a not-too-distant future. He had a partial ACL injury. Now, that doesn't happen very often. Again, we talked about physics.
Yeah.
The ligament either tears or it doesn't. It's like a rope that tears or it doesn't.
Yeah.
And I've seen partials. I mean, it happens. In my 33-year career, I've maybe seen 10. But from a functional standpoint, whatever's left is not enough.
Right.
So whatever's left is not enough.
Yeah.
So if you sustain a partial ACL injury and there's a few strands left, the way to fix it is you get a whole new ACL.
Yeah, it's just not it's not functional. I mean, it's not most enough. Partial ACLs might as well call them full.
Yeah, they're going to go on to become complete ACLs within the first year. We've got lots of studies that say that. So what he had done, this is Kawhi Leonard, again, very, very hush-hush. He had a partial ACL surgery. That was the quote. I don't know what that means.
Right.
I don't know if they called the surgery after a half hour and said, we're done. We're doing a partial ACL.
It's a partial ACL, so we're going to get some partial surgery up
We're going to be done.
Is that like a partial heart surgery?
I don't know.
I've never heard of like partial reconstruction.
You got four clogged arteries, but we're going to just do two of them.
We're going to do two of them, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, and there were...
Other two, they'll be all right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We may swing by next time. I don't know. We'll see.
It's not a laughing matter. I think he's doing everyone a disservice. I think he's doing his teammates a disservice. I think he's doing the NBA a disservice. At some point, there are some things that you just need to put out there.
Yeah.
What did you have done? When is the timeline? What is happening here?
Yeah.
And this is All-Star Weekend, and there were some rumors about him coming back after the All-Star break, but I have not heard anything. Is he not the biggest name on the Clippers, or am I missing something?
He and Paul George.
Yeah.
I'd put him above Paul George.
Yeah. When he's healthy, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, I think a Kawhi Leonard healthy, like you said, is probably the big name.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. We were talking about Odell Beckham. We talked about him tearing his ACL. We talked about the physics and how to fix it, et cetera, et cetera. But now on the extreme opposite side, we're talking about Kawhi Leonard, who had a partial ACL, which is an extraordinarily rare thing, and some kind of an unknown procedure. So I can't use that as a learning opportunity for anybody listening. I just can't. I'm just telling you that I don't know what he's got, and I don't know when he's coming back. And to me, that is a disservice.
How long ago was that surgery? Do we know?
Yeah, it was.
Was that summertime last year?
Yep. So it happened in the playoffs, and everything was hush-hush for about a month.
Yeah.
And then a blurb came out that he had partial ACL surgery.
That's right. That's right.
And then nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Here's a thing from 2 weeks ago from Clippers head coach Ty Lue.
Yeah.
After they beat the Lakers a couple of weeks ago, he said that he said that Kawhi Leonard is probably not going to come back this season.
Oh, he did say that.
Ty Lue, this is 2 weeks ago on CBS Sports. And, yeah, they said obviously they've been playing without Paul George as well. But, yeah, his return from the partially torn ACL, that was the quote, was that Leonard is, quote, probably not going to come back, unquote.
What's George's injury again?
Shoot, I'm going to have to look.
Yeah,
I can't remember what it was.
Yeah. I remember seeing something about it, but I just can't remember what his injury was.
So you ask yourself, why is there a sports medicine show on the biggest station in Texas? Probably one of the biggest stations in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Clippers are devastated with sports medicine injuries.
Mm.
The Super Bowl was marred with a sports medicine injury.
Oh, yeah.
This is, you can't have sports without understanding what the impact is. And I'm not trying to rationalize why we're here.
Paul George injury was a right elbow injury.
I thought it was upper extremity. Okay.
I'm not trying to rationalize to you or be self-serving as to, you know, how important we are. And that's not the point. The point is these are all educational opportunities for us.
Yeah. But they impact what you watch. The house that I was at probably got tired of me saying, I'm telling you, man, the Bengals have an opportunity to win this thing immediately. And because of that injury, I thought that they may have been able to pull it off, but apparently nobody knew what to do with Cooper Kupp once they
Well,
but before that, I mean, it changed the game. It changed the game.
I don't know if they get back in it without the missed face mask call that led to a 75-yard touchdown, though.
True, 100% agree. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, which actually brings up something that we talked about in pre-production. One of my greatest attributes, at least in my own mind, is the power of observation. I pick up on patterns.
Mm-hmm.
It was obvious to me the first three quarters of that game, there were very few flags thrown in the Super Bowl.
You don't have to be a good pattern recognizer
to know that.
To know what you're talking about right now.
Okay, yeah. So the how long is an NFL game? 60 minutes? First 45 minutes.
Yeah.
First 48 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
One flag for a celebration penalty.
Yeah.
Then the last couple of minutes, flags are flying.
Yeah.
And Jacob just showed me a stat before we started. This Super Bowl had the fewest number of flags ever in the history of the Super Bowls. Six of them. Only six.
Wow.
Whereas during the season, the average is in the high teens, maybe low 20s.
Hmm.
So the the conspiracy theory side of me says someone in an executive position at the NFL said,
"Get LA to win."
I'm not going to go there.
Okay,
I'm not that much of a conspiracy theorist. Is that a word?
Maybe.
Okay.
Now it is.
All right. Hold the flags in your pocket. Keep your flags in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Was the Super Bowl a cleaner game than the previous 352? No.
Mm-hmm.
Look, if you talk to a lineman, there's a hold on every single play.
Oh, dude, there were a couple holes that I had screamed like holding.
Exactly. Yeah. If you talk to a wide receiver or a defensive back, there's a PI on every single play.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, flags were not flying.
Yeah.
Flags were not flying. They were letting them play. And here's the problem that I see with that type of strategy. When you fight, you're going to miss something big.
Yep.
Which is what happened with the face
catch.
Mask.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was blatant.
Yeah.
It was downright blatant. And then when the flags do fly, the players are looking at each other like, wait a second.
Right.
you let me do that a minute ago.
Wait, what? I mean,
I could do that before.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, it just breeds inconsistency in the entire game. So, and then it looks bad whenever the last, like you said, the last 10 minutes or so, flags are.
Oh, they're flying.
Yeah. And particularly at the goal line. It was.
I know.
Yeah.
Look, I've seen it in the NBA. I've witnessed it in person. Was there.
Yeah.
I just thought that was noticeable.
Yeah.
All right. Quick little break. This next segment is when we take calls. So 888-787-1310. I see a couple of people have already lined up. 888-787-1310. We're happy to take your calls, questions on Inside Sports Medicine. T.O. Soriel, Brad Ballard coming back.
And Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
Good morning, Dallas, Fort Worth, Oklahoma. Thank you all for joining us this morning. T.O. Soriel live in the studio. Brad Ballard. 3J's on the other side of the glass. Jacob, Jonathan, and Jay. Phones are ringing, 888-787-1310. We're going to go right off the bat to... Does that say Chief? All right.
Yeah.
Well, the screen is like 8 feet away from me. It's hard for me to read it.
More like four, but it's all right.
Good morning. What's up?
Not much. Y'all doing okay?
We're hanging in there.
Good.
I'm going to try not to be all over the place here, but like it was interesting for the coach to say that he don't think Kawhi's going to be back.
Yeah, very interesting.
Very interesting, and it's like he knows something that we don't know.
Oh, for sure.
He's got a history that is a Kyle Kawhi's MO.
Yep.
And he talks about how they didn't manage my time right. They're talking about player management these days more than you did in the past. It was like Chris Bosh, Porzingis also needed to, you can't overdo it. And so I think the Mavericks actually did a good job of how they handled his situation, and you're still trying to allow them to play, but you're trying to win games too. But between the two of them and probably others, they do complain about, hey, you didn't manage me correctly. They'll get upset about it, it appears.
Yeah.
Why are they trying to blame the organization? I don't, like, you didn't manage my minutes right. Like,
yeah. Look, you talk to some old school basketball players, you talk to MJ about player management, will laugh you out of the gym. I'm playing every minute. That's how they look at it. And listen, it is very difficult, in this modern day NBA to manage minutes, because there's just so much riding on your stars being stars.
Yeah.
Look, I don't,
and that has nothing to do with his ACL.
Yeah.
First of all.
I know. Yeah. So I don't know how Kawhi can say that they didn't manage my minutes right, and that's why I got an ACL. That has absolutely nothing to do with it. You could have played 60 minutes, which means overtime. You could have played 60 minutes every single night, and that has nothing to do with tearing your ACL. Anyway, so what else you got?
The hamstring.
Yep.
I know, you know, I know y'all have had to talk about that as far as James Harden goes over the years, because it's been something that's been a prolonged situation.
Yep.
And so my question is, and then I'll get off the phone, it's like they made an announcement the other day that the MRI appears to show it. And that was what my question was. Can an MRI actually expose that there's actually a hamstring injury in a player or a person?
Yep.
And I'll let you go. Thank you.
Thank you. Good question. Very good question.
Yeah.
So hamstring injuries are – that's one of those injuries that we don't have a really good answer for, because it ends up being a muscle tear. And the degree of severity has to do with how many fibers are involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've all seen people pull up lame and grab their hamstring and fall to the ground. Usually that's a pretty good bundle of muscle fibers.
Yeah.
And we don't have a good fix for that. We don't have a real good fix for that. If it's completely torn, there's some discussion about surgical repair.
Yeah, and where along the tendon-muscle junction.
Yeah, there's some discussion, but the vast majority of hamstring injuries are either grade one or grade two. And if you do an MRI, you can see where the fibers are disrupted. You can see where the swelling is. There's been some studies that show if it's, you know, 6 centimeters or more, you have a really high recurrence rate, a slow healing. The problem we have with hamstring injuries, and that our previous caller alluded to that, is there's a high likelihood of recurrence and they drag out.
Yeah.
They just drag out. Because just when you think you're healed, it tears again.
Yeah.
And so, yes, you can see it on the MRI, high recurrence rate. The older you get, the slower it heals. I mean, it's a tough injury. We don't have a good fix.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm currently nursing one. The trying to use MRI to gauge when they come back is also difficult, because
you'll
see lingering, you know, fluid in the muscle for a while, even when they are, you know, feeling 100%. So you can't really you can use MRI to diagnose, but to use it to bring it back, I wouldn't recommend it. They might be out for even longer.
Yeah. Well, so I use an MRI for hamstring injury to try to predict.
Yeah, yeah. For prognosis,
how bad it is.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Josh, on line 3 from Coppell. Hey, Josh, how are you?
Good, doctor. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Of course.
Hi. So I had an inflamed bursa sac on my right elbow. It was due to just like, I guess, massaging and working or whatever. But anyways, it came inflamed, and I guess it was more cosmetic than anything. And I saw one of the doctors, and he's a really reputable doctor. He went ahead and removed the bursa sac. But ever since I had the bursa sac removed, well, I should mention before I had it removed, there was like white pus coming out of it and stuff like.
Well, now that now,
back
now,
up,
now that's
back
a game,
up, back up,
game
back
changer.
Up, back up. Hold up,
game changer, game yeah. changer. Because I was thinking, wait a second, for elbow bursitis, I rarely do
go
surgery.
Go straight to it, yeah,
yeah. But now that you said that it was infected, well, that's a game changer.
Yeah.
But
yes, sir. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. It was infected. It was happening for quite a while, months and months at a time.
Yeah.
And he did remove it, and after he removed it, ever since then, it seems like it hasn't closed up completely. There seems to be like a white crust on it, and it seems like it slowly, like really dried stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I'd go back, man.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
so here's the thing. It does happen. Obviously this is a radio show, so it's going to be difficult for us to give you a second opinion, but you know, an infected anything is a concern.
Yep.
Because the infection can spread. And so surgical excision and debridement is a reasonable option. But if it's not fully healed, you need to go back.
Yeah, for sure.
And if for whatever reason you have a difficult time getting it to heal, you might want to consult with an infectious disease doctor, because there are some secondary bacteria and things that may require specialized treatment. So if it's still problematic, you need a workup. This is not normal.
Yeah.
And I just want to add, you know, this has been going on for a few years now, and I'm not sure if it is problematic. It just doesn't seem like it's completely healed. You know, it's just like a white small.
I've never seen that.
I'd still go back and try to get some answers, man.
Yep.
Okay. Right.
Good luck.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, sirs.
Ginobili, let's go to line two. What's up, bud?
What's up, man?
Good morning. My question is not going to be as intense as these first two.
Good.
You look good. It's good. The docs held it down while you were gone.
Yeah. I heard.
I thought you were going to take an extensive vacation, but you was going to get your Kawhi on. But I'm calling because I'm wondering, you know, with the boys and a lot of people recovering from injuries, I was hoping one day you guys could do a segment on those recovery, you know, how you guys, when you're going through therapy, you got the game time. Game ready. I'm wondering, what do you guys think about those? And maybe one day you can do a segment on, you know, at-home things that we can do to recover.
Well, first of all, it's a great question. And it does bring up a couple of really good discussion points that I've been remiss the last few weeks to emphasize. So what one of the most common questions I get is, what do you do for the pro athletes, or how do the pro athletes recover faster than I recover? And an answer is, they're not necessarily better physical specimens than me and you, but given that that's their job, they can receive rehab and modalities three times a day. Yeah.
And rest, by the way.
And instead of us,
yeah,
you know, who have jobs and get rehab twice a week.
Yeah.
So the main thing is frequency of recovery tools.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, and I've always called this the kitchen sink, on a pro athlete level, we throw the kitchen sink at them.
Yeah.
You know, if hyperbaric has an option, we're going to throw hyperbaric. If there's IV therapy, we'll throw IV therapy. If there's supplements, I literally throw the kitchen sink at it. If there's any possible scientific proof that this might help, we're going to try it. One of the first things they teach you in medical school is first do no harm. So anything that might be risky, we're not doing it.
Right.
But there's not a risk of sitting in a hyperbaric chamber. I shouldn't say that. There's a minimal risk. Yeah, of sitting in a hyperbaric chamber for 45 minutes.
Right. But the reward is greater than the risk.
Right. So one of the things that the pro athletes and the collegiate athletes have available to them are these multiple modalities that they can do all the time to help them help manage the swelling, help manage the bruising, help. And the earlier you can handle the swelling and the bruising after surgery, the earlier you can start rehab. So one of the things that we've been doing at Texas Sports Medicine, and this is new. This is since January 1st. We have a performance center now, which now allows for the average Joe to utilize all of these sports medicine modalities that are available to the Cowboys and the Mavericks and the Stars and whatever. Now, insurance doesn't cover it, okay. But since January 1, I mean, I've done a few Achilles reconstructions.
And you've seen some remarkable, you know, recoveries.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, back when I did your Achilles, I wish I had all that stuff available.
Had all that stuff.
You know, so it really is, it's quite remarkable. And I'll throw Game Ready into those modalities. Game Ready is an ice machine that also provides compression. So, a few years ago, I did a segment on, you know, technologies that have revolutionized sports medicine. Number one is the arthroscope, because arthroscopic surgery. Number two is the MRI, because now we have a three-dimensional picture. And number three is the Game Ready, which is a compression ice machine. It's not just ice, but it's also compression. That's available to everybody. Now, you might have to rent it, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But for a couple $100, it's worth every nickel.
No doubt.
These are the recovery protocols that I'm hoping that your sons and daughters start using. We threw the kitchen sink at Dirk during the playoffs. No reason why we can't throw the kitchen sink at little Cindy.
Right, right.
All right.
Shout out to Cindy.
Quick little break. Coming right back. Inside Sports Medicine. T.O. Soriel, Brad Ballard.
On Sports Radio, 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. T.O. Soriel, live in the studio, Brad Ballard. Let's go to Matt real quick, and then we're going to wrap up episode 835. Good morning, Matt. What's up?
Good morning, guys. I'll keep it brief because I do enjoy the mix.
Thank you.
Great to see you both this week. Want to give compliments to you and your staff. My elbow with Bergmeier and shoulder with Levy was fantastic. I would love to talk to you more when we have time about the hyperbaric and encourage your staff to push the game time more. I have a competing unit, a different manufacturer, I will not name it, but I made the decision to go with the game time after I had turned it down, and I love the game time much better than the one that I have.
Yeah, you mean game ready. Game ready.
I'm sorry, game ready.
Yeah. Look, I told you before, so I had ACL surgery many years ago, and there was a predecessor to the game ready, and it was about the size of a washing machine, but it not only provide cold ice for my knee, but it would provide compression for the swelling. And I could not have made it after my surgery without that combination. And sure. And fast forward now, it's in a much smaller package, and it's extremely effective. The problem is if you want to buy your own, it's expensive. It's $2,500. But it's rental, it's available. But that's in addition to the hyperbaric, and it's in addition to the supplements and all that stuff. You ought to consider for your shoulder and your elbow the recovery protocol. That might really help you. Anyway.
I'm already doing 11 hyperbaric treatments.
Well, then you're way ahead of me.
Yeah.
I'd encourage also recommending more hyperbaric pre-surgery to help with swelling and prep you, not just post-surgery.
100% agree. The unknown is how many dives are enough. We don't know that yet.
Agreed, but very limited risk, only benefit option to me.
100%.
And exosomes is something else I'm investigating. Yep. So,
by the way, that stuff is time-consuming and expensive, so I have to let people know that in advance.
It is, but we only get one shot at this world.
I get it. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, so before we start mixing with the golf gods, one of our pre-production meeting discussion points was Tiger Woods' press conference about his ability to come back. And I'd be very, very curious to hear what the golf gods spin on it. But from an orthopedic, obviously not sports medicine because it happened in a car accident, but it impacts sports.
Yep.
From an orthopedics standpoint, he had a really serious injury to his right lower extremity. Fractures, perhaps it was coming through the skin. There was perhaps a dislocation of his ankle. Just like Kawhi Leonard, it was very, very hush-hush as to what was happening with Tiger and extent of his injuries. In fact, we talked about this a year ago. The one hospital was releasing too much information.
Yeah.
So in the middle of the night, he was transferred to another hospital where nothing came out. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally nothing came out. So we don't know the extent, but it sounded pretty bad.
Yeah.
And he actually mentioned that he thought he might lose his leg. So that said, that's a pretty serious injury, especially when you're talking about a sport that requires a sound platform in order to hit the ball, and walking a golf course 4 or 5 days in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So all that said, it didn't sound too optimistic that he was coming back. Hey, are the golf gods available yet? I wonder if they've been hearing what I said.
Well, you said that he sounded somewhat pessimistic.
He did sound pessimistic
in the recent press conference.
And one of the things that he was pessimistic about was his ability to walk the course. Good morning, golf gods.
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We're good.
Doing great.
So
absolutely.
We were talking a little bit about Tiger Woods and his press conference the other day. I'm assuming you all were part of this, and it got me to thinking. You know, he said something, and I'm paraphrasing here, that, you know, he doesn't see that he'll be able to come back on the PGA Tour and play weekly. But sporadically, maybe. He left the door open.
I think it depends on the layout. So Augusta is so darn hilly.
There's no way.
If you've never been there, the TV does not do that place justice. And to walk under that different undulated surfaces, it would be impossible. Now, where I could see him definitely going to is St. Andrews.
Yeah,
it's flat as a board.
And it's short. I mean, the distances between one tee box and one, you don't have to walk very far. My question to you is this. Can you be on the PGA Tour and pick and choose where you play, or do you have to play a minimum number?
Yeah. If you're Tiger, you're fine.
Yeah. So if you win over 20 events, I think, in your lifetime, you have lifetime status.
Ah.
Unlimited status.
Ah.
And then you can do whatever you want. And, you know, back in the day, Jack used to only play like 15 events a year. He would gear everything around the majors. So if you're him, we'll talk about Phil later, but even Dustin Johnson's got like 24, 25 tour wins. He's already exempt for the rest of his life.
But wow. Even when Tiger was not, you know, after this accident, even prior to that, when he was healthy again, it wasn't like he was playing every week. It was still, you know, picking and choosing how mm-hmm. he wanted. And it right. may be even more so now, you know, where he's only going to play maybe five or six events you know, the majors and three other events or something like that.
So if you're new to the tour, do you have to play every week? I don't know the rules. I don't know the rules. That's why I'm asking.
You'll need to play. If it's your first year out on the PGA Tour, you'll need to play every event you can get in to try to retain your status for the following year.
Yeah, you need to make top 125 to get exempt status. Yeah, I think 150, you get partial status. But you have to make X amount. Now they don't even show money anymore. It's all points. It's ridiculous. It confuses everybody. But, yeah, and then once you win, like Scottie Scheffler did last week, even though he's already got status, now you get to plan out 2 years. You can play whatever you want.
Well, almost 3 years because yeah. he's got the rest of this year
That's
and
true.
Then 2 years.
So it's what I love about golf, it's a meritocracy in the highest order. You have to earn everything. You don't. There's no guarantees. There's no nothing. And it's just a numbers game. You either shoot, as they say, if you're mad because you're not playing enough events, just play better. Sounds really trite and cliched, but that's kind of how
winning
it is.
Winning cures all in that world. Sounds like.
All right. So
yes, it does.
I'm so glad we're mixing because I've got so much to ask. I was watching some sporting event and their ticker on the very bottom. About the Saudi golf tour and mm-hmm. offering
oh, yeah,
guys
we'll
to play. It. Is uh-huh. that so are they just trying to attract names and they're going to pay them money?
That's essentially what they're kind of gearing for.
At about 8:50 and 9:10, we have a lot to talk about because it is, there's so many questions, so few answers. Who's going to benefit? Who's going to literally shoot themselves in the rear? Whether it's branding-wise, whether it's can you get back on the tour and play? Who's this benefiting? Who's the liability? Who would be one name that would pull way more players over there if they decided to jump ship? So much to get to. So, what I'm saying, guys, this is at least a two segment, and
wow.
to give it justice in the mix would be wouldn't be apropos.
Well, so circle back to Tiger before we have to sign off. Mm-hmm. Your prospects as an observer, is Tiger ever going to come back and walk 4 days in a row?
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
Okay.
Here's one issue with Tiger, and it'd be with anybody. Conrad knows this. Conrad Schindler's filling in for Craig today. He plays on the pro tours. It's one thing, as Tiger aptly put, I can play weekend warrior golf.
Yep.
I can do that all day long.
Yep.
But when you start playing against guys that are the best of the best and you don't want to be exposed and you don't want to, you know, you're just off by a half a shot around, you're toast.
Yep.
That's a razor edge right there.
Yeah.
Right, Conrad? So he's going to pick and choose. It would be great if he could play Augusta, but I just don't see. If St. Andrews was first, he might.
So the orthopedic sports medicine side of me, If his injuries were not embellished, if his injuries were actually as stated, it is awfully hard to walk 5 miles a day, 5 to 7 miles a day, 4 days in a row. It is awfully hard.
That sounds difficult just I mean, I don't have those problems.
I mean,
that
if he
dislocated
his ankle, which is what they said he did, man, I mean, I just can't imagine that.
It's called being in golf shape.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
amazing. I work out as much as I can, but if I play three days of golf in a row, I'm
yep.
feeling it.
Yeah, 100% agree. All right, look,
all right, guys,
have a good show. I can't wait to listen. I'm going to be listening in.
Thanks, man. Have a good weekend.
You
all
too.
Right. So on behalf of all of us here on Inside Sports Medicine, hopefully the last hour was beneficial and you learned something and you were entertained. Don't forget, you can see Brad or myself over at Texas Sports Medicine. We have our office in University Park, also in Frisco as well. And this recovery protocol that we started just 6-8 weeks ago has really been very, very helpful. So if you think you want to get some more information, just call us. This is T.O. Soriel on behalf of Brad Ballard and all of us here on The Ticket and Inside Sports Medicine. Until next week.
Tell your friends.
Broadcasting live from the TXU Energy Mothership at Victory Park, hard by the AAC. This is Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket. KTCK AM, Dallas-Fort Worth. KTCK FM, Flower Mound. A Cumulus Media Station. The preceding program was furnished by Inside Sports Medicine Associates, LLC, and is responsible for its content.